So, here, I'll give you also copies of the chart. The colored ones I need back, but you can keep some photocopies in black and white. We have colored ones. You want the chart? And now we'll explain that when we look at the Chumash, we sometimes just for the multitude of trees, we don't see the forest. So, in other words, we read through passages in the Chumash and don't realize that there's a hidden pattern. Just like also in the world around us, of nature, we often look at the world around us and don't see the pattern. Once you see a pattern, you see there's a purpose. So Hashem reveals himself through his works and also through his words. Just as he reveals himself through his works, Marabu Masecha Hashem, and the progress of science throughout the ages, is a constant progression in understanding the pattern which lies in nature. All the great thinkers amongst the scientists recognize this more and more. Perhaps I can explain in this way the pasuk we say daily, Dor l'dor yishabach ma'asecha v'rosecha yagidu. Shabach is not just a praise. It also related today, the word is Shevach. This is Mas Shevach. That's property tax. As it increases in value, you've got to pay more. The Shevach has got to do with, also in the expressions of the Mishnah, the Gemara, it's got to do with profit, increase.
You put them away.
So, to understand this on a deeper level, I'll give the following explanation. That creation reveals different phenomena which are united by one God who harmonizes them all. This is why the sages say, beginning of chapter 5 of Pirkei Avot, why was the world created in 10 sayings? It could have been created in one saying, but this is to give greater reward to the saints who uphold the world which was created in 10 sayings. Because if you look through the first parasha of the Chumash, it says Vayomer, it says it 9 times. And the sages say the 10th time is the first word of the Chumash, Bereshit. What's the difference if it's in 1 or it's in 10? So, we know that throughout the Tanakh, throughout the Bible, there is significance attached to numbers all the time. There's a numerical language. And this is part also of the Tzelem Elokim, of the body of the human being. The reason why human beings were created with 10 fingers and 10 toes is the concept of the unification of diverse elements. So the concept of harmony in nature, which is it's Einstein, even more modern, more recent, contemporary thinkers in the scientific world, they say the more that we analyze all the phenomena of nature, the more we see there's a harmony between them. Which means there's a purpose. There's a purposeful designer. So this is creation. And we also know a similar concept is the Aseret HaDvarim. This is not only mentioned In the words of the oral tradition, this is explicit in the Chumash. It's emphasized there are 10 sayings, the Aseret HaDibrot. If you analyze them in the concept of how many commandments there are and prohibitions, there are more than 10. But it's divided in 10 sayings, the same concept. The Torah contains many diverse mitzvot, all of which are harmonized with the unity of Hashem, unity of God. And we know that there are all already in the early Midrashim, there's also clear even from indications, clear indication, the Chumash, that you can categorize all the mitzvot of the Torah under the heading of the Aseret HaDibrot. One of the earliest books of commandments, Sefer Mitzvot, written by Rav Sadia Gaon, so his Sefer HaMitzvot is entirely based upon 10 categories of the Aseret HaDibrot. So, contemporary Egyptian descriptions, which have been contemporary of the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim, such as the Ipua Papyrus, which is, I think, which is also shown on our website. They found a papyrus which describes how the 10 plagues hit the Egyptians. It demonstrates how Egypt collapsed because of the 10 plagues. And the way they presented the Chumash demonstrate God's power in history. Each plague being a finger of God. Vidatem ki ani Hashem is mentioned 10 times in the description of the 10 plagues. It's the same concept. To recognize Hashem as master of nature and of history is the basis of accepting him as master of our lives by observing the Aseret HaDibrot. So we can say that the 10 plagues are the road between the existence of Hashem as the creator of nature, to teach us the existence of Hashem as the master of history. History is his story. In order to bring the people of Israel, through the people of Israel, the whole world, to recognize in human life, to reach also harmony by following the wisdom of Hashem. So, in order to see it more clearly, we know when we recite the 10 plagues at the Seder night, we take a little bit of the wine and drop it. The wine which expresses the full cup of joy, the miracles that occurred, are accompanied also by sadness that human beings had to be killed and tortured through the 10 plagues, which is their punishment for torturing the Jewish people and not willing to recognize the God of history. The God of history is shown through the way in which Hashem looks after his people. So, then after reciting the 10 plagues of the Seder night, we quote a statement of Rabbi Yehuda, "V'hanotan bem simanim." If you really want to see the pattern in the 10 plagues, then you can do it by the Tzach Adash Ba'achab, which are the initial letters of Dam Tzvadei Akinim, Tzach, and so on. He divided them into three. So it's like this. If you look carefully in the Chumash, why did he divide them into three? Three, 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 and then the final Makat Bechorot, which ended the supremacy of the Egyptian Empire. So if you look carefully, in the first plague of each set of three, Moshe was told, go to Pharaoh in the morning at the Nile. Why was he at the Nile? Because the Nile was his God, and he identified himself with the Nile. He said, I, Pharaoh, am God. That's why he went to the Nile. In the combined aspect of idolatry. And there Moshe was asked to warn him, Moshe and Aaron, that I'm going to send the plague. That's the first one of each three. And you'll see it on the chart also. In the chart it's divided. The first three. And the first one is with a full warning given to Pharaoh when he's at the Nile. And the second plague of each set, Moshe was told to go to Pharaoh, not in the morning by the Nile, but in his palace, so the whole people would know about it. In other words, the warning was publicized by going to the palace. The third plague of each series has no warning at all. It was a punishment for not heeding the first two warnings. So if you look at your chart, everyone should have a chart in front of them. I think there are enough copies to go around. Yeah. I just need back all the colored ones. But you can keep a black and white one. So if you look at some are only Hebrew, but of course, maybe also you have those in English. You see Hatra'a, warning, that the first in each set, there's a full warning from the Nile. Lech, good. The second one, he went to the palace. The third one is no warning. It's accordance with the principle, which is found in many aspects of Jewish law, that frequently both divine punishment as well as goes into also in certain human situations, give him a warning twice, you don't listen, and the third time you'll be punished without warning. Now the first set of three is introduced by the words that brought here that it says, Leman Teda Ki Ani Hashem. The first three teaches us the first principle of faith. You've got to know that I am Hashem, that I am the master of history, master of the world. Really, it's basically the existence of Hashem. And that's why even by the third plague, even the great wise men and magicians of Egypt said, we recognize that it's an etzba elokim, this is the finger of God. Finger of God is protecting the people of Israel and punishing those who deny him. The second set, it says, Ki ani Hashem bekerav haaretz. Not just that I am a God, but I am in the middle of the earth. In other words, this is to teach the true concept of biblical monotheism is not deism. Deism is the concept where there is a God who, however, is not concerned at all with human beings, because in this vast universe, man is just a small speck, almost invisible from the heights of heaven. And this leads many, also even today, there are many people, oh, if there's a God, because we see in nature that God runs creation, but that in itself makes all of us think that human beings are entirely insignificant. Why should God care about what goes on amongst human beings? He's so far beyond it. This concept of God is reflected in lots of Greek and later philosophy until today. Philosophical science until today. But the main emphasis And what we read in the Chumash is that God is very much concerned with the human being. And it's very interesting that in modern times there's been a swing of opinion amongst most thinkers in the world of science. People used to think, well, what if God exists, but why should he care about what goes on in the human mind, what goes on in human history? In fact, for this they say a pasuk, Rom al kol goyim Hashem, for the nation of the world, Hashem is up in heaven, he's not concerned what goes on here below. And there's a mnemonic also, you want to know the difference between counting the year, the secular year and the Jewish year. The difference is, and not in hundreds, part of the difference is in thousands, the other difference is Ram is 240 years difference between the Jewish counting the calendar year and the one we call the common era. Rom al kol goyim, Shem al shamayim kvodo. It's true that his great honor is up in the heavens. But how does the pasuk continue, which we sang this morning? We said it this morning. Hamashpil lerot bashamayim. He lowers himself down to see from the heavens what's going on here on earth. And not only in the general world has this become acceptable by most deeper thinkers. I mean, there's Nicholas Badiayev, who's previously agnostic, but he's from the meaning of history. He came to believe in God who controls history, who has providence. There's a famous book, The Clue to History, by a famous Scottish philosopher, John McMurray. The clue to history is taken from the biblical account, which is not an account of what has been only, but what continues to be until today, the history of mankind. So this is demonstrates that God is concerned. And where was it founded? With the 10 plagues. And that's Ki Ani Hashem Bekeref Haaretz. That is the difference in philosophical terms between deism and theism. Deism is the concept that God is Deus, beyond nature. Deus. And theism is generally accepted as the term for monotheism, particularly that God is concerned what goes on with human beings. It's providence, the second important principle. And the third set, they say, the third set is introduced, so the purpose is, it says, Leman, it's that it says Ki Ani Hashem B'chol Haaretz, that I am God in all the earth. In all the earth, that means that it goes much further, that every aspect of human behavior could not exist without the constant life energy that Hashem gives, Atam Chayit Kulam. And it says there, it teaches us the power of Hashem. He's omnipotent, he's all powerful. Shem Echad. And the tenth one is the special concept that the people of Israel are his firstborn. What do you mean they're his firstborn? In the Egypt also was the concept of the Chorim, of the mighty ones. Who are those who represent power in the world? It's the materialists. The materially strongest one, which is reference generally to the firstborn, and in a wider sense, all those who are most powerful. But Am Yisrael is considered the firstborn because we're the first ones who make Hashem the father of the family of mankind. In other words, all human beings are part of his family. As they referred to already in the blessing given to Avraham Avinu, through you will be blessed all the families of the earth, all my children. But in order that all mankind will recognize Hashem, Hashem chose the people, or the people chose Hashem, to become Mamlechet Kohanim. That means to become a kingdom that demonstrates service to Hashem. And that is the true significance of the Bechor. And that's the tenth one. So, the foundations of faith, Shema Yisrael, expect by Israel, is to strengthen these three principles, that Hashem exists, that Hashem is concerned with what goes on earth, and number three, that Hashem is omnipotent, that He is powerful to exclude any other power. And that's the foundations of faith expressed by Israel, the first need demonstrate by teaching destiny, the fatherhood of God, which also brings about the brotherhood of mankind, but in order to teach mankind how to live with this faith, so the people of Israel are the firstborn son of the true father of mankind. So the ten plagues show to those who deny this God do so at their own peril. So we see the pattern of God's power in history is the basis for Israel's acceptance of God's life pattern of Israel and mankind. So we have it like this. That if we choose the words which are used, the sages say, the world is great asara ma'amaro, in 10 sayings. And the code for mankind is Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 declarations. Now, what is the difference in Omar and Dibor in Hebrew? Any of you can tell me? These are commonly used words in the Tanakh and also in daily speech, but they have a different meaning. What's the difference between the two? In fact, there's a frequent phrase in the Chumash, Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying. What do you mean? If he spoke, obviously he was saying. And if he was saying, obviously he spoke. Because in English, what's the difference in speaking and saying? Any difference? I'll tell you how you can find out the difference. Or can any of you tell me what's the difference in English between speaking and saying? Yeah.
Isn't it more a tzivui? And saying is just communication?
Okay. So in other words, you're saying that Omar means general communication, includes everything, and Diba always means a commandment. Well, there are cases where it means a commandment, but if you look through the Tanakh, Dibur is frequently used where it's not a commandment.
Declaration.
I'll tell you how you can best see the difference. There are some speakers, and in fact, even people who are speaking regularly, give public talks regularly, they often fall into this error. Used to say in the sermons that were given in many synagogues in England, where I grew up, were often the ability to speak a lot without saying anything. Yeah. Yeah. And that happens. It can happen to any of us. Yeah. A person often speaks a lot. He's short of words. So he speaks a lot. But doesn't say anything. You come out from it and you say, what did he actually say? Can't repeat it. You can repeat all the words. Lots of verbiage, but not really giving a proper message. Certainly there are plenty of such talks that go on in parliaments and other public debates. So, it's like this, that the sages say, a bit on your lines, they say like this, Dibur is a reference to concrete speech. And Amira is explanation. Explanation that people understand it. So therefore, in the Chumash, the Hidaber is what we would call Torah Shebichtav, and Leimor is Torah Shebaalpeh. For example, the parasha we say every day of Tzitzit starts with that phrase, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor. So Hashem spoke to Moshe saying. The word saying means that what Hashem said to Moshe and told him to write down, he wrote down in the Sefer Torah, the Parsha of Tzitzit. But Leimor is the oral tradition. To understand concretely what Tzitzit are, you won't be able to get it from the text alone. The text is headings. It just gives you certain, sometimes practical aspects and sometimes conceptual aspects of the Tzitzit, of what their purpose is. That's afraid that's in the Parsha of Tzitzit. There are many words, and each word has significance. And the Torah Shebaal Peh explains to you how it means when you have to have a four-cornered garment, what's called four corners, what type of tzitzit, what type of material can be made of. There are many different laws concerning tzitzit that goes into the Leimor, the Torah Shebaal Peh, and the deep word Torah Shebichtav. So therefore, when it says in the introduction, given the other example, introduction to the Aseret HaDibrot, it starts it also by Daber Hashem Yukim Et Hadabrim Ha'ele Leimor. That's what's introduced. The Aseret HaDibrot are, they've been engraved in stone. These are heading words and principles. But, for example, they hint, following what I said at the beginning of Sadi, all the 630 mitzvot are hinted at under the headings of the Aseret HaDibrot. Because that's the Leimor. Leimor is the full explanation, going into many details. If you really want to fulfill them, you have to study Torah thoroughly. So that applies. Similarly also, when Noah was given the Noahide code, it was also given under certain headings. But to understand it thoroughly, it goes into many different details. So the Torah, both for mankind as well for Am Yisrael, is made up of Bichtav and Baal Peh, Dibur and Leimor. So we can say like this, creation, when we say Hashem, it's true Hashem spoke, but it's mentioned entirely Vayomer, because if you want to understand the nature both of history, but even more so of the moral pattern for mankind, then you can find the divine aspect of nature that surrounds us through your investigation. In other words, Hashem, when he created the world, there was no one to speak to, because part of the creation was man himself. He couldn't yet speak to him directly, give him a dibur. But he gave him a deeper understanding of the harmony of nature, which is shown through the 7 days. There's a book by Will Lee, 7 Days of Creation. Also, more recently, there's a scientist from Babylon University who's written quite a few books on this subject to demonstrate how the 7 days of creation, how they're described, actually refer to the different gradations that exist in the natural world, which gives us an easy understanding to see Hashem's design. So therefore Hashem's design can be seen through the Asara Ma'amarot, which shows there's a sign, there's a design. If there's a design, there must be a designer. This is the, we know in America today there are many debates. Are you allowed to teach the designer interpretation of the sciences? So some places allow it, some don't allow it. Here in Israel, unfortunately, And of course, in the religious schools, for sure, they always teach the designer interpretation with the interpretation of the Tanakh. But in the head of the scientific department of the Ministry of Education, in fact, he put into the curriculum that they should, that already they want to put forward evolutionary concepts, fine, but they should also teach the children the design interpretation, give it the chance also. So he was dismissed from his job. I was the religious sections, of course they teach the designer concept constantly, according to different interpretations of many of Jewish thinkers. But still, the basis is that the world is designed by a creator, which is far more logical. And in fact, if you analyze scientific concepts deeply, then I know that there are many who, in their essays in schools and colleges, they'll go and adopt for the designer view, and they'll deny the truth of evolution. They won't give them any marks, and they won't allow people to lecture. But this is a dogma. It's entirely dogmatic. There's so many proofs against the agnostic interpretation of evolution that come by itself. And the more the science develops, the more we see the purposefulness of every aspect of nature. These are the 10 sayings, Ma'amarot. But we have to translate them into Aseret HaDibrot, like you explained. Dibrot emphasizes that these are commandments, these are guidelines how human beings should live. So we have the Asara Ma'amarot to bring us to the Aseret HaDibrot, and how do we and the nations of the world come to it? Through the Eser Makot. So it's the Eser Makot that lead to the acceptance of the Aseret HaDibrot. And the truth is, this is not shown in this chart, but this chart works entirely according to the text. If you look carefully, you'll find that I put at the top also all the sources from the different commentaries. By the time you're ready to follow this, the top, I put here the Malvin, and then the Sephorno, Ababanel, the Ramban, and the Alshich, and Rabbi Hirsch. So you'll find that if you take them together, you've got a complete pattern of the Tzach Adash Ba'achab. So when you read through the parts of the week, if you do it together with this chart, you'll see that it works in a pattern. That Hashem Yisbarach wanted to bring Paro to the recognition. At that time, that was the largest empire in the Middle East, to show that Hashem is the master of human history, and the people of Israel have a special role to fulfill, to live in accordance with that concept, until ultimately mankind will learn to follow the Aseret HaDibrot, which, you know, they're given in two versions, the Aseret HaDibrot. If you study the difference between the version in Yitro, which we're going to read in 2 weeks' time, and you compare it or contrast it with what is mentioned when Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it for Am Yisrael before he went into Eretz Yisrael. So the deepest answer is like this. First time was given in the desert. The second time was given on the threshold of entering Eretz Yisrael. The first time was given in the desert because it was intended for all the nations of the world. And they could all, if they would have accepted it, then the history would have changed already if the other nations would have accepted it. If we would have been on a sufficiently high level, maybe nations would have accepted it at that time. But it's needed these thousands of years for the Aseret HaDibrot to spread to mankind. Today, the Bible is known to the vast majority of human beings, and especially the Decalogue. It's the second time it was given, when the nations rejected it, so then Hashem put the Aseret HaDibrot as the major categories for the whole Torah, for Am Yisrael in Eretz Israel. And that's why in the first Aseret HaDibrot, it's only Hashem is introduced as demonstrating its power in the world through taking Am Yisrael out of Egypt with the 10 plagues. But otherwise, it doesn't mention, in the first time, doesn't mention the creation of the world with regard to Shabbat. The second time, he mentions the purpose of Shabbat for the people of Israel particularly is to put into practice service to Hashem by not doing any work on Shabbat. And then says you've got to remember you were a slave in Egypt. Now, instead of being a slave in Egypt, you've got to demonstrate that now you're a servant to Hashem, who recognizes that everything comes from Him. Because now we have a stronger national role to fulfill, since we have to go and apply rulership of Hashem in the land of Israel. But let's hope in our time that, especially, I think we'll concentrate upon one aspect which is so important today for the whole world. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the first one of the Dibrot between man and God. And the first one between man and man is Lo Tirzach, thou shalt not murder. And today we have a huge movement which is unfortunately causing terrible cruelty and evil in this world, that on the one hand they speak in the name of Allah, of God, on the other hand they desecrate the most important law between man and man, of Lo Tirzach. They murder innocent people. Now today, for example, they want $200 million from Japan in order to release 2 hostages of Japanese journalists that they took, and if not, they're going to murder them in a cruel way. And they do this in the name of Allah. What's happening here? So we have to demonstrate that we Jews, we have to uphold and ask all the whole Western world to help mankind that has on the whole accepted the prohibition of killing innocent people, that this first principle must be based upon upon the way in which God has revealed Himself to the Jewish people. And what they're doing is, they're more cruel than Paro, in certain ways. They're following Paro. And they think, they've got such a distorted understanding of the God of mankind, of the God of Israel, who's a moral God. And unfortunately, many Europeans are siding with them, one way or another. So let us hope, well, to fill up, as we said this morning we sang in Hallel, Kol Goyim Stavavuni, the nations of the world surround us. Unfortunately, they surround us with not recognizing the true God. So we say, B'Shem Hashem Ki Amilam, but we'll cut them off in the name of Hashem. Name of Hashem means 3 things. Name of Hashem means trust in Hashem. It means the name itself speaks about chesed. Hashem represents loving kindness, which is the exact opposite of Lo Tirzach, the most extreme opponent to Anuchi Hashem Lekech Lo Tirzach, because man was created B'Tzelem Elokim. Each human being, that's the basis of it, is in the image of Hashem. And someone who commits murder, he's not only denying God, he's as would attempt to destroy the image of God in the world. And these people are innocent. And this is a most terrible, terrible sin. And that's the second aspect of Hashem is love. and not hate. And the third Asher Shem Hashem, the whole Torah is the revelation of Hashem through His words and through His wisdom. So with strength and these, Ki Hamilam, we'll cut them off. And then we say, they surround me in different circles, otherwise one refers to the Intifada nearby, the other refers to the other nations of the world that are so filled with hatred against the Jews and against the Jewish God who believes in preserving life. But above all, it says, Savuni kedvorim, they surround me like bees. I'll cut them off. Why bees worse? Because bees believe, or they have it in their function, that to hate someone else and express your hatred at someone else, you should do it even to kill yourself. Bees do. Bees sting, and then they die. Their sting brings their death. And these extremists, they have suicide bombers, and that's a great danger for the whole of mankind, who don't mind killing themselves, like they did at 9/11. They'll kill themselves, they don't care, and they're all great heroes in the in this terrible, cruel world. They give up their lives to kill themselves, when at the same time they can kill people from the West or kill the Jewish people, or those support them. And it's a very, very serious challenge we face, but we say, B'Shem Hashem Ki Amilam. In the end, Lo Moschiach Ye. The people of Israel will not die. Hashem will help us, and Yitz Hashem, through our strengthening in Torah, Tefillah, and Chesed, that Israel or Zichayil, in the end, in this struggle, we will succeed because of the Aseret HaDibrot, based upon Yasara Ma'amarot, for the revelation of Hashem, for the purpose of which He created the human world. Any questions, please? Yes.
When Rashi was said before that Bnei Yisrael is the firstborn, so in the pasuk, I don't remember who, but it says Ephraim is the firstborn. So when is Ephraim the firstborn, and when is just the Bnei Yisrael?